Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to get to a very familiar and read a very familiar portion of Scripture this morning where it talks about the armor of God. And I'm really not going to focus on the armor. I'm going to focus on what it says after that. But we're going to read the whole thing in context. Last Sunday, we had Pastor Rob Longmire here from Freeport, Florida, Destiny Worship Center. And he spoke a message about us going up to the mountain to meet with God, to make the climb, Don't just depend on someone else to talk to God for you, but make the climb and meet with Him yourself. He longs to have personal fellowship and relationship with you. And so that was the blunt of his message last week. And he closed that sermon last week with a prayer that we would have a burden to pray. He literally prayed that we would have a burden to pray, and that we would have a burden to take time and meet and talk with God. How many know what that's called when we meet and talk with God? Prayer. Prayer. And so I'm going to sort of piggyback off of that just a little bit this morning and go into a message that I feel like the Lord laid upon my heart called Watchmen. And we're going to talk about prayer and supplication. I do want to say this. Not next week, but the following week, I want as many as can be here to be here. I'm going to start a new sermon series that's called Path to the Promise. And the Lord has laid this on my heart for a while, but in the beginning of that series, that first sermon, I am going to actually update the church on a lot of things for our building project. If you don't know, we purchased land in 2020. Right up here off 41, 27 acres. And since that time, we've been paying on that land. We paid that off in really less than a year. And we've been planning and going through all these steps. And the Lord has been perfecting patience in me through this. But there's some big updates that are coming. I'm gonna talk about that in 2 weeks. And we're just going to talk about where we stand in the building project. And I can tell you this, we're real close to starting to move dirt. Somebody praise the Lord. But today we're going to talk about watchmen, and we're going to talk about prayer, to watch and pray, okay? This past July, right, just a couple months ago, we just did our vacation Bible school. It's like we call it Julie's Super Bowl for kids' church, right? And we had over 120 kids come to vacation Bible school this year, and our theme this year was the Army of God. And so each night, we split the kids up into different stations. One of the stations is crafts. And in the craft room, they did crafts dealing with the armor of God, since our theme was the army of God. So that makes sense, right? It goes hand in hand. The craft room, they made shields, they made swords. I think some of the older ones we ordered hats, like trucker hats, mesh hats, and they made hats representing the helmet of salvation, and they did some really cool stuff in there, and they, with their limited time in there, they tried to cover every piece of the armor of God, but I bring all that up to say this, with that happening with Vacation Bible School, and then everything that's been happening within the world the past several weeks, I mean, how many keep an eye on current events? Now, I don't watch a whole lot of news, but I read a whole lot of news, and I read it from a lot of different various sources. I'll pull up papers in Israel. I'll read the Jerusalem Post, Israeli Times. I read all kind of different sources for news, especially globally and then locally. But everything that's been going on, we had some major things happened in the past several weeks. I don't know, I mean, young people, I don't know if you noticed, but you witnessed history when there was an assassination attempt on President Trump. That's history right there. That's going to be in the history books. And so there was the assassination attempt on Trump. There was the Olympics came up. There was the Olympic controversy with the opening ceremonies, the mockery, and then different controversies within that. I don't know if anybody watches the stock market, but we had a stock market plummet where we lost $2 trillion in one day. That's a lot of money. $2 trillion, that's a lot of money, right? You have the Israeli-Hamas war that's been going on for a while, the Russian-Ukrainian war, but now escalating in all areas of that is Iran is threatening Israel. There's other countries that say they're preparing for war with them. There's just a lot of going on. There's a lot of tensions rising. There's wars and rumors of wars. And with all that happening and all these different things taking place, I've been asking the Lord in my prayer time, you know, what's going on? And all I kept hearing in my spirit is watch and pray. Watch all that's happening and pray. This is what Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Right before he was arrested and taken to be crucified, this is Matthew 26. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 26, 36 through 41. I know I told you Ephesians 6. We're getting there. But let me just read this to you. It says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which were James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then Jesus said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" Right? "He went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray.'" Y'all say it. "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, if you continue to read in Matthew 26 right there, what you're going to find is that Jesus goes away and comes back two more times, and both times he comes back and he finds them asleep. He wakes them up and he finds them sleeping again and again. But this is what he told them: watch and pray. What did he tell them?
Watch
and pray. What did he tell them?
Watch and pray.
And then he actually gave them the reason why. Right? He told them. He said, "Listen, you need to watch and pray because your spirit may be willing to do what is right, but your flesh is weak. And if you are not careful to watch and pray, then you will fall into temptation." And I think it's really, really important that we get that today, that we understand this morning that we, the church, are called to watch and pray. And if we're not careful to watch and pray, we too will slumber and we'll become even more susceptible to the temptations of this world, especially right now in this time. So I told you to go to Ephesians 6. Let's read from there. Ephesians 6, 13 through 19. This is what it says. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Here we go, verse 18 and 19. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me." Somebody say, "For me." Oh, that was weak. Say, "For me." "That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So, We are told to stand, right? Take a stand wearing the armor of God. Whose armor is it? God's armor. It's not ours. So with God's armor, you get the belt of truth. Listen, the truth holds everything in place. If we don't have the belt of truth, I got a belt on right now, right? If I didn't have this belt on, Lord help us, right? Right? So it holds everything in place. There could be stuff go everywhere if I let this belt off. So the belt of truth holds everything in place. If we stray away from the truth, everything else falls out of place. We have to be grounded and founded in the truth. The truth is God's word, right? So we stand in the truth, right? We get the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, our chest. We get the shoes of the gospel of peace to protect our feet and our walk where we go. We get the shield of faith that says above all, right, to quench all the attacks of the enemy. And then we got the helmet of salvation, protect our head. That's our mind, our thoughts, our emotions. And we're told to take the sword of the Spirit, right, which is the word of God. And the word that Paul uses there in the Greek is the rhema word of God, which means the spoken word of God, right? David said, your words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the rhema word is the spoken word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he came to him three times, right? How did Jesus combat that? He used the sword of the Spirit. This is what he said every time. It is written. And then he would quote a scripture actually from the book of Deuteronomy. All three times he quoted the book of Deuteronomy. But he quoted, it is written. That's how he fought the devil off. That's how he resisted the enemy, with the spoken word of the Lord. So that's how we fight our enemy. So let me ask you a question. Who are our enemies? If we're looking at all the things going on in the world today, right? Who are our enemies? Is it the Democrats? Is it the Republicans? Is it the Olympic Committee? Is it any particular group or entity of people? No. That's not what the Word of God says. Now listen, people can be influenced and even used by the enemy, but I think it's very, very important for us to realize that people are not our enemy. People are not our enemy. Why does Paul tell us in Ephesians 6 to take and put on the whole armor of God? He says, so that we may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the evil one, the devil, in that day. He tells us to take and put on the whole armor of God because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means people. We're not wrestling against people. Our war is not with people, right? So it's not flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to read it to you so you know I'm telling you the truth, right? We're going to gird it with truth. This is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Right before, we read 13 through 19. Let me read a little bit before that. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. People are not our enemy. Even though people can be used and influenced by the enemy, people are not our enemy. So what we do is we take a stand boldly in the truth of God's word, right? In his truth, we take a stand in his righteousness. We walk in peace. We walk by faith. And we walk in the confidence of our salvation. I'm going through the armor again without saying it, right? And then we declare the word of the Lord. We do this, it says, and then we pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is where I'm going to focus today. For us to watch and pray as the church and not be found lying down, sleeping. All right? To watch and pray and not be found lying down, sleeping. Verse 18 again, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So as we take a stand with the armor of God, the Word of God proceeds to tell us that we're supposed to pray with all prayer, always with supplication, okay? So what does supplication mean? If you look up supplication in the dictionary, it's going to tell you this. It means to ask or even beg, right? Or even beg for something earnestly or humbly. To ask or beg for something earnestly or humbly. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaks a parable to the people about persevering prayer, right? And it says that he spoke this parable to them so that they would understand that men should pray always and not faint. They should not grow weary in their prayers, or they should not grow weary in their prayer life. So you can be consistent with a specific prayer, but you need to be consistent with prayer in general, right? So in this parable, Jesus says that there was this city that had a judge, and this judge feared not God and regarded no man. In other words, this judge had become so strong and powerful within this city that he had really nothing to worry about, and he was pretty high on the horse of himself, right? He thought, I don't have to worry about God, nothing there. There ain't a man that can touch me in this city. I'm powerful. Jesus goes on to say, in this same city was a little old widow woman who comes to this judge who he said feared no one or God, and she said this, avenge me of my adversary, right? And it says for a while, Jesus says for a while, this judge would not pay attention to what this little old widow woman was saying. He didn't care about her request. But this is what would happen. This is in Andrew's terms. This is not what the Bible says right here. This is me reading into it, okay? He would go out to check the mail. Here's the judge. He goes out to check the mail, and here's this little old widow woman by the mailbox. Avenge me of my adversary, right? He'd go to work. He'd go get on his lunch break, about to eat a sandwich, and there she'd be. Avenge me of my adversary, right? Right? He'd try to go for an afternoon stroll, just, you know, enjoy the coolness of the evening, and she'd pop out from behind a tree. Avenge me of my adversary, right? And then he'd be in his bedroom at night, and he'd look out the window and down by the street light. Avenge me of my adversary, right? Listen, but Jesus goes on to say that this judge said within himself, though I fear not God and I regard no man, I will avenge her, because if I do not, she'll just keep coming. She'll keep requesting. And Jesus goes on to say, listen, if this unjust judge, this pretty much evil man, if he will avenge this widow woman, God, who is just, will avenge his own elect. That's you and me that belong to him, right? Who cry out both day and night to him. Listen, this is what I know. When we pray, it may not actually come when we want it, but it will get there right on time, because he's an on-time God, right? I remember when I was a young man, my dad used to do prison ministry a lot. And he went to, there's a federal penitentiary in Somerville. It's called Hayes Correctional. I believe it was from this prison. But they did, him and Charlie Cooper, Wayne Jones, they did a lot of prison ministry. And they would go have service, and you know, prisoners would receive Jesus, be filled with the Spirit, God would just show up. But I remember as a young man, Dad got in the mail one day a lot of letters from prisoners in this big envelope, vanilla envelope. So there was a ton of letters in there. I don't even know if he remembers this, but inside that with those letters was a cassette tape. And on the cassette tape, it just said Pete, right? And I remember, anybody know, if you're 20 and under, do you know what a cassette tape is? Not a hand. Oh, wait, there's one. Okay, who knows what a cassette tape is? Just curious. Okay, okay. We got some older people in here. So there was this cassette tape. And so I remember he put it in, and it was these prisoners. They had recorded themselves singing a song a cappella, and they were singing, "He's an on-time God. Yes, he is." Come on, Wayne, you know it. "He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an..." I thought y'all were going to sing with me more. This was not a solo performance. My point is this. Those prisoners in a federal penitentiary knew that even though they may not have got the answer right when they want it, they knew he's an on-time God. And I just want to encourage you today that keep praying. Pray always. Without ceasing. Cry out day and night. He's an on-time God. And it'll come right on time. But Paul goes on to say, not only should we pray always, but it says prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul addresses a lot of things, okay? It's a very important chapter. I encourage all, we're a non-denominational church here. We're just a Bible-believing church, okay? And so I tell, if people ask me questions on doctrine, theology, I always go to Scripture. What's your doctrine on this? What's your belief on this? Well, let's see what the Word says. That's what we base it off, right? And so in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul addresses speaking in tongues. He addresses praying in the Spirit through speaking in tongues. He addresses prophecy in church. He addresses church order. All right, and we're not going to go real deep into that today because there's a lot of other things I want to say. But there are a few things I'm going to point out that he says in 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 2, Paul says that when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying the mysteries of the Spirit, and we are praying unto God. All right, in verse 4, it says those who pray in the Spirit, it edifies themselves. It helps improve themselves morally, intellectually, and spiritually. In verse 5, he says, he wished all spoke in tongues. Why? Because it brings edification to yourself, which brings edification to the body, right? In verse 18, he says, he thanks God that he speaks in tongues more than any of them, right? If you go over to the book of Romans, Romans 8:26, this is what he says. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, right? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes, that means prays on our behalf, for us with groanings too deep for words. What am I saying? I'm saying all that to say this. Just as you received your salvation as a free gift from God, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And the benefits of that, receiving that, is for you, for your edification spiritually in all areas of life. So how do you receive it? Well, you have to yield yourself to the unction of the Holy Spirit in your heart, mind, and body, right? You have to just yield yourself. It says on the day of Pentecost when they began to speak that they spoke as the Spirit gave the utterance. So you yield yourself to his unction, to his utterance. So at times when we do that, when we don't know what to say, as we yield to him, the Holy Spirit himself, it says, will intercede for us. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. He will intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I know that's deep, but that's the Word. You can yield yourself to him. So Paul says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to say, watching with all perseverance. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, stay awake. Y'all got no excuse, right? Y'all can't go sleep in this sermon. It ain't that boring, is it? Right? Look, I went to bed really late. I left at 4:45 or 5 this morning. I got up at 4:45. Don't go to sleep. If your neighbor's nudging, just nudge them. If they're nodding, you nudge, okay? Turn to your neighbor again. Say, stay awake. Watching with all perseverance. We are called as the church to be watchmen. There's a point in the book of Ezekiel. God calls to Ezekiel the prophet, and he says in chapter 3, he says, I've made you a watchman. That's what he tells Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3. I've made you a watchman. And this is what he says to him. He says, hear the word at my mouth. This is God talking to Ezekiel. He says, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Do you guys know and understand that we have the words of the Lord in written form in this book? This is the word of the Lord, right? Jesus was the word made flesh, right? But this word says that this is the word, and it is living, and it's powerful. And it can cut even from the marrow in the bone, right? And so this is the living word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture was God-breathed. It was given by inspiration of God. Peter says, no prophecy, no word came forth itself through the Spirit of God himself. Right? So this is the very word of the Lord in written form. Everything we believe because of the written word of God. Right? And it became flesh. Jesus became flesh, the living word. Right? Let me say this. Let me just put this in there. If there is anyone that's trying to teach you about the gospel or their doctrine or their belief or their theology, and at the same time they discredit the word of God, you better run. Because God does not contradict himself. He will not say, this is my word, and then people tell you not to listen to it. So if they discredit this, you better not credit them. You better tuck, tail, and run. Because if it doesn't line up with that word, it doesn't line up with him. All right? So he goes on. He said, give them the words from my mouth. He goes on to tell Ezekiel, tell the wicked people, this is the Lord talking, right? This isn't Andrew. Tell the wicked people who are stuck in their wicked ways to turn from them and to turn to me, and I'll set them free. Right? He tells Ezekiel, tell the righteous people, let's get up in here. Tell the righteous people who are doing unrighteousness. Tell the church, here's my interpretation. Tell the church folk who are doing unrighteousness to turn from that and to turn back to me. And if they heed that warning and they turn to me, they'll be saved, they'll be delivered, they'll be forgiven, they'll be set free, right? But the job of the watchman is to preach it when you like it and to preach it when you don't. The job of the watchman is to speak the truth whether you like it or whether you do not. The job of the watchman is to tell them what God's word says when they like it and when they don't. You have to preach it when they're shouting the roof off the place, and you have to preach it if they're booing you and throwing tomatoes at your face, right? You preach it when they're clapping, and you preach it when there's dead silent, right? Because if we speak God's word, guess what? We've done our part. Now it's up to them to accept it or not. Jesus sent out his disciples and he said, go from town to town and preach the gospel. You know, do all these things. Heal the sick. And if they'll receive you, let them receive you. But if they deny you, shake the dust off your feet and move along. It's not our job to make people accept it. It's our job to proclaim it. Amen. Speak the words at his mouth. The problem is we, the church, we, the watchmen, we stopped watching and we stopped praying. We abandoned our post. We got out of the word instead of getting in it. We got into, declaring self-help instead of declaring God's help. Our words instead of his word. And we turned a deaf ear to what God has said and what he is saying, and we have ignored the screams and the cries of people's souls that are on their way to hell. And if we have kept silent while the enemy has come in, and he's invaded, he's ransacked our families, he's took our children and our future generations, our society, our culture as a whole has embraced immorality, homosexuality, mass confusion, gender misidentity, while the watchman, the church, has slipped deeper into a slumber. But God's been saying, sound the alarm. Awaken the watchman. Wake up, church. Let your voices ring with prayers to heaven again. Let your voices ring with the word of the Lord again. Stand upon your post. He's looking for a watchman like in Habakkuk. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is Habakkuk chapter 2. This is what it says. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he'll say to me. And what will I answer when I'm corrected? Ooh, can you handle correction? Can you handle correction? From the Lord or from leadership? Can you handle correction? What will I answer when I am corrected? Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What does that mean? Though it tarries, and then it will not tarry. It'll get there right on time, right when he ordained it. Now, I don't know what visions God's given you personally or what promises of God that you may be clinging on to, but I do know this. It's for an appointed time according to the word of the Lord. And though it seems like you've been waiting and you've been waiting and you've been waiting some more, this is what I want to tell you this morning is don't give in, but persevere. Don't give up, but persevere. Continue to watch for that vision to come to pass and continue to pray for the fulfillment of the promise. And I'll tell you, God has given me visions. He's given me promises, both personally and corporately for this church. But there is one promise that I'm holding on to the most, and that promise is that he is coming again. He's coming again. And our job as the watchman is to let everyone know that and let everyone know that death is not the end. But when life ends here on this earth, our spirit will live on in one of two places, and that's heaven or hell. Right? And the only way you get to heaven and not hell is through faith in the finished work of the cross of Christ. God is saying to some people here this morning, hold on and don't give up, but persevere. Persevere. He's coming again. So you need to persevere. Paul says in the last part of verse 18, he says, make prayer and supplication for all saints. You know what that means? I'm supposed to pray for you. You're supposed to pray for me. As the pastor of this church, I'm supposed to be praying for the other local churches and then churches around the region and churches in this nation, churches across the nations. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm on the same team. As I said earlier, right? There's many parts, one body. We are, the church is not a building. It's the people. It's believers in Jesus Christ. So I'm supposed to be praying that God would show up and use these other pastors mightily, that their houses would be packed with people, so many that they can't fit them. Because there's enough people in Adairsville to fill every church and more. We got to pray for one another. We're supposed to pray for our neighbor that way. The problem is we're too busy talking about one another. We can't pray for each other. You know what that tells me? We need to do a lot less talking and a lot more praying. Verse 19 and 20, Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, this goes along with what God tells Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, to speak God's word boldly when it's popular, when it's not. Why? To make known the mystery of the gospel. People need to know the gospel. What is the gospel? It is good news. Here's the gospel. There's a heaven, and you can go there. Praise the Lord. There is a hell. That's the truth, right? But here's the good news. You don't have to go there. And here's the even better news. You get to make the choice. You get a choice. Because there is a heaven. There is a hell. That's the truth. And we don't have to go to hell because there is a Savior whose name is Jesus. And he made a way where there seemed to be no way. Let me give you the seven pillars of the gospel, right? Seven pillars of the gospel. If you believe this wholeheartedly, you can be saved, right? Here's number one. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, right? He was born of a virgin birth. It was miraculous. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll conceive. And this one that will be in you will be called the Son of God. Right? That's number one. If you can't believe in the virgin birth, everything else crumbles. It's the truth of God's word. That's one pillar. Here's number two. Jesus lived a sinless, perfect, miraculous life. He did it. He fulfilled the law. Number three, he died upon the cross for our sins. My sin, your sin, the sin of the whole world. He took all sin for all time, and he nailed it to the cross. He died on that cross. Here's number four. He was taken off that cross, and he was buried in a tomb. There was a stone rolled in front of it. It was sealed with a Roman seal, and there were Roman soldiers that were put on guard to make sure nobody messed with his body. But here's what happened. On the third day, he got out of the grave. He rose from the dead. He resurrected. Right? After that, he spent 40 days walking the earth. Numerous testimonies. Right? And then he ascended into heaven where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And here's number seven. He's coming again. He's coming again. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. If you believe the seven pillars of the gospel, you confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. You don't just pray an empty prayer with empty words, but you truly confess it and you believe it in your heart, then you are saved and you're on your way to heaven. And from that moment that you confess and actually believe that, the moment that that takes place, there's a work. There's a great exchange that takes place. He takes our filthy, sin-stained lives and gives us his perfect righteousness, and that takes place on the inside of you. And then from there, it works from the inside out in a process called sanctification. You don't clean yourself up and come to God. You come to God and he cleans you up. Amen? God forbid we come to the Lord. The old us pass away. Behold, we're raised to new life in Christ. God forbid we do that and we forget about the rest of the world that's dying and on their way to hell. God forbid we receive that and not tell anybody about it. And just drift off to sleep. Ah, I'm good. Nothing but relaxation now. God forbid we should get caught in the weakness of our flesh and start giving into the temptations of this world because we fail to watch and pray. I'm going to end with some words of Jesus. Come on, Amanda. This is Revelation chapter 3. This is a letter that is addressed to the church of Sardis in ancient Asia Minor. Today, that's modern-day Turkey. But in Revelations 2 and 3, there are seven letters written to seven churches from Jesus. And he's addressing some issues with them. I did a whole series on this, right? It was called Letters from God. But I felt led to go back to this today. If Jesus felt this way about the church then, how many know he feels the same way about the church of today? This is what Jesus said to the church of Sardis in Revelation 3, 1 through 6. He said, to the angel or to the pastor of the church in Sardis write, these things say he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. That's an introduction. He's saying, this is Jesus, the head of the church, talking to you. And this is what I have to say to you, the church. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. What'd you hear? The gospel. What'd you receive? Salvation. Remember it. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names. He's saying you have a remnant. He's talking about a remnant, right? You have a remnant. He's talking about people that was in the church of Sardis and within the city of Sardis, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They haven't started giving into that temptation. They haven't went to sleep. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, Let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We see and we read right here that Jesus calls Sardis, the church of Sardis, dead. He straight out said in verse 1, you're dead. If you go and read the other letters to the other churches in Revelations 2 and 3, when Jesus addresses them, he talks about attacks that are coming against them and persecutions of the culture coming against the church. But there's no mention of that. There's no mention of the enemy attacking the church of Sardis. There's no mention of there any kind of cultural persecution against the church of Sardis. It doesn't seem that Satan was attacking them. It doesn't seem that the culture was persecuting them. You know why? Because they were dead. There was no reason for Satan to attack a dead church. No reason for the culture to persecute a dead church. Listen, Sardis historically seemed to be a very wealthy city and have a very wealthy church. As a matter of fact, if you study the history of Sardis, you will know that they were known to have built the largest known synagogue of the ancient world. You go study archaeology, it'll tell you it's the largest known synagogue of that time. They said it was roughly the size of a football field, and it could gather up to at least 1,000 people. And that was incredibly miraculous for that day and time. They didn't have microphones, sound systems, anything like that. But they built this synagogue. And Jesus says to them, you have a name that you are alive. In other words, you're a big church, yeah? You got a lot of people. A lot of people hear your name, and they think you're doing great things. But you're actually dead. That's a pretty strong rebuke from Jesus himself. And he says, watch. That's what he says. He says, watch. And if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. Now, the Greek word that's used right there is Gregorio. Gregorio. And it literally means, this is what that Greek word watch means. It means to stay awake or to wake up. Jesus is saying, stay awake, strengthen that which remains. Or if it has, it's time to wake up as the church. And Jesus says, if you will not wake up, I'll come upon you as a thief. Listen, if you think about it, many times in Scripture that it talks about death, it refers to death as sleep. When Lazarus dies, Jesus says, he's asleep. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. When Paul wrote about the Christians that had already died, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, or I don't want you unaware about those who have fallen asleep. So Sardis is a dead church. It's a sleeping church. But Jesus is saying to them, I want you to wake up. This is what we have to catch. This is what we have to grab a hold of. Because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, even if you're dead in certain areas of your life and in your walk with the Lord as a believer, you can wake up. You can wake up. The Holy Spirit can wake you up and cause you to rise up. There's resurrection power there. If you read verse 3 in the English Standard Version, it says, remember then, this is Jesus, remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief. You won't know what hour I come against you. So Jesus is saying, church, you need to wake up. You need to repent. You need to watch. You need to stay awake and watch, and you need to pray. I'm gonna close with why it's significant that Jesus said this to the church of Sardis. Sardis was an acropolis. The whole city was. Which means, an acropolis means it was a high city, right? A necropolis is actually called a cemetery. That's a necropolis. It's a low place outside of the city. An acropolis is a high place. And Sardis was an acropolis that was built on the side of these cliffs. Very high cliffs, right? And on top of that, it had very high walls. And it was because just for that mere purpose, side of a cliff, very high walls, it would be very hard to try and overtake and conquer Sardis. Because of its sheer cliffs, because of its location, there was a Greek historian named Polybius, and he said this about Sardis. He said, it's the strongest spot in the world. Strongest spot in the world. So Sardis thought that no one could ever possibly climb those heights and conquer them without being noticed first. But in the 6th century, Cyrus led an army and he did it. Okay? Cyrus and his men, they scaled the wall of the Sardis Acropolis. And then when they got to the top of the wall, they captured the guards. And then they put on their uniforms. It sounds like something out of a movie, right? Like a spy movie. They climbed the wall. They captured the guards. They put on their armor. Then they walked right down into the middle of the city and opened the front gates and let their army in. That's history. It's widely believed the reason Cyrus and his men were able to scale the walls and take Sardis, take those guards, is because the watchman on the wall got comfortable and they went to sleep. Really, here's the point I'm wanting to make. They were taken off guard while they were sleeping. They weren't awake. They were not watching. If there are places in our lives as the church, both individually and corporately, if there are places in our lives that are dead or dying, that we are falling asleep in, we need to wake up. We need to wake up as a whole, and we need to watch, and we need to pray so we're not caught off guard or caught in temptation in the weakness of our flesh. We need to be effective again to the world around us because we've been called as watchmen. We've been called as ambassadors of the gospel, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. May we watch, may we pray, and may we speak boldly the truth of the gospel. I want everybody to stand with me. Listen, I know that's a little bit longer sermon for me, but it's been burning in me. It's a word we all need to hear. And as I wrote notes on this week, I said, God, if there's places in me that I'm falling asleep, strengthen that which remains. Wake me up. Shake me up. Cause me to rise up, to speak the truth, and stand, and stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't mind. I'm just going to ask you a quick question. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I don't know that I've ever really, truly confessed and believed those 7 pillars of the gospel. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Maybe you've repeated a prayer, but have you really believed? Have you really confessed him as the Lord of your life? And saying, God, I'm surrendering my heart and my life to you. Do you really believe who he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, your Savior? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not 100% sure I've really confessed and believed that, but I want to make sure I do that today. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Throw the hand up, put it right back down. We want to be ready to go. Ready to go. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm a believer, but this word pricked the heart. It pricked mine. Just being honest with you, it pricked my heart. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, there's parts of this that prick my heart. There's areas of my life where I'm not watching and praying like I should. There's areas of my life where I'm falling asleep spiritually. And I just need to recommit, refocus, get some things right with the Lord this morning. If that's you, just throw your hand up, put it right back down. Father God, wake us up. Holy Spirit, shake us up. Holy Spirit calls us to rise up. I just want y'all to look at me. There is a burden in my heart for people to know the gospel. Do you know you come across somebody every day? You come across somebody every day that's probably not ready. And are we being a good ambassador? Are we speaking the word of the Lord? It's just something. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm saying this is for me too. I mean, there's a lot of missed opportunities for Pastor Andrew right here, and the Lord has pricked my heart on it. We got to be watchful. We got to be praying. We got to be sharing. And if the Lord's speaking to you about that, maybe you raise your hand. Maybe you should have, but didn't. I just want you to come spend some time with Him. I want you to come and pray. I want you to come and pray and let Him speak with you and speak to you as they sing. Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.